Welcome to episode 20 of Eat the Evidence, a podcast for cake and cookie decorators and sugar artists of all kinds. I'm your host, Kimberly Chapman, and this episode is all about the 2018 That Takes the Cake Sugar Arts Show in Austin, Texas, which took place the last weekend of February. I've got a huge lineup of volunteers, vendors, judges, and more, plus the first ever Eat the Evidence podcast contest. Stay tuned and be ready to jump to email to be the first to answer the secret question when it comes up. So whether you're relaxing after the Austin show, busily working away at your entry for the next competition, or slaving away at client orders, let's get this show started to inspire and entertain you as you do your sugar thing. Hey guys, it seems like forever since I've put a podcast out because I've been so swamped with the cake show in Austin, and by swamped, I mean almost literally. Oh my god, you guys, the weather in Austin was nuts over the show weekend. On Friday night, when I was portioning out all the fondant and buttercream and such for my kids' classes on Saturday and Sunday, my friend Christine Brown was helping me, and it was so cold in the kid classroom that she couldn't scoop the buttercream out of the bucket. And to be clear, by buttercream, I mean that shelf-stable stuff that no cow has been anywhere near. You know, the super creamy stuff that's supposed to stay soft. That classroom was like a fridge, and Christine kept bouncing her spatula off the buttercream, and it kept lumping up instead of mixing with the color. Then overnight, it went from that ridiculously cold room to getting in a warm, super humid front. So Saturday morning, when I came into the room, I found a puddle all around the two walls that are the floor-to-ceiling windows because they'd massively condensated all night long. It was so wet and humid in that room that I set down my breakfast plate, a super breakfast of champions of two round rock donuts and a pile of potato chips, because, hey, it's cake show. I'm running around the whole time. This is the one time of year I can eat like that. Anyway, I set the plate down and I popped out to the loo for like less than 2 minutes. And when I came back, the chips that had been perfectly crispy as I'd carried that plate up to the room were already getting limp and soggy. Like, it was so not fun portioning out the rest of the fondant that morning. It was like melted marshmallows in my hands. And as the classes started, the kids didn't even need to knead the pre-portioned fondant lumps or anything, and they barely even needed any water to stick elements together. I want to say a kudos to the amazing venue team at the Round Rock Sports Center, though, because not only did they come in and mop up the floors before classes even started, and they kept coming to apologize to me for how crazy humid it was in there. Like, it's not like they could control the weather, but they were really awesome about it. But one of them even came partway through the day and brought a fan, and everyone in the room was just so happy that we were like, we love you, and we're going to erect a statue in your honor, and you're our hero, because it was, oh, it was just crazy in there. And as bad as that room was, and that room was the worst room in the entire venue, the whole venue was just crazy with humidity. Down on the show floor, by Sunday, several pieces had melted. There was a big figure cake that had lost its face, and there were drooping elements on several cakes. And my own gingerbread entry, which was made with Julia Usher's super durable construction gingerbread recipe, and it was rock hard when I left England. And the extra bits I left here in England were still rock hard when I got back during the massive snowstorm England was having at the same time. Anyway, my gingerbread on the show floor got like so squishy soft that when I destroyed the piece at the end, inside my gingerbread was like wet sponge. I mean, no wonder my mechanism had stopped working by the end of the show because it was just so crazy humid in there. That was the first year since I've been involved with the show that we actually had potentially damaging rain and wind when people were bringing in their entries. So kudos to the whole show team for setting up a system where competitors could bring in their entries through the garage with a highly managed car stream instead of having to park and carry things across a crazy windy lot. I mean, I brought mine in earlier before we had that set up, and the cake lace strings that I'd worked so hard to get nice and taut got blasted by a wet wind, and they stretched and got all floppy. Not broken, but floppy. Between that and how it just wouldn't come together properly, I mean, I got it off and on my flight perfectly intact, but then the softening gingerbread broke at Kyla's house on Thursday night, and the repairs just would not dry. So I thought, that's it, this piece is not going to place. So I was super shocked when it took second place in Master's Cookies and third place in the divisional application of the show theme. I was completely blown away by getting anything, to the point that I have guilt because there were so many other amazing entries on that show floor, particularly in that category. A massive congratulations to Sarah Weber for not only taking first in that category, but best of divisionals overall with her amazing cookie entry of Perfect Little Beetles and Bugs. You're going to hear more about that one and some of the other great pieces of the show in the interviews coming up. And on Sunday, the weather had caused such ruckus that there were problems on the road. I mean, there was problems on the road, people getting in on Friday and Saturday. Sunday was a nightmare with people even having to miss classes, so weather hit our show hard this year. But you know what? All those who could come out came out. As many volunteers who could show up did, and did an amazing job. We had vendors who were happy. We had competitors who were happy. Everyone I talked to at the show was having a good time. We all talked about the weather, but we all had a great time. And despite the weather, we pulled it off. We made it work. And kudos to everybody for showing up when they could and putting in the work when they could. It was amazing. Let's start this show with an interview I got with my friend Carol Tseng, who's the outgoing secretary of the Capital Confectioners Club. That's the group that hosts the Austin Cake Show. And this year, she was on Vendor Care. So let's see what she had to say.
Hey, Carol, how's it going?
Doing great.
How's the show so far?
Busy. I've been keeping up with everything. I'm able to walk around the show this year and see everything, and I've even bought stuff. Maybe that's a bad thing, but I'm enjoying it.
What'd you buy?
I have bought the spatula with a little notch in it, and I had to buy one for my mom and my sister and me, and we're having a discussion tonight to see if I need to go back and buy another one for my brother. And I'm trying to figure out if I want the tilting turntable from PME. And then I bought Terry Griffith's book. Nick Lodge had one left of that, and so I had to grab that because it's always sold out online. So I needed to get a copy of that. And that's why I think I need the tilting turntable, so I can be working on that.
Exactly.
So I can practice. And then I got a cutter from Jimena.
What has your job been here?
Today I'm the head of vendor coordinator, so if any vendors have any problems, they come to me. If they need a potty break and need to watch their booth, I do that. If they need some food, I'll go run and get them a snack or something to drink and make sure, in general, that the vendors are happy. That's my job this year, and I also helped organize the on-site class registration. I said I would do the grunt work at the beginning, but somebody else would run the booth this year.
Because I can tell you, I'm not going to name any other shows, but some British shows, they don't take care of their vendors like we take care of vendors.
Oh, I even line up a massage therapist back in the hospitality area for our vendors, and I'm feeling guilty this year because I waited so late to tell her or to remind her of the show that she could only make it today, so they didn't get 2 days worth of massage therapy. They only got one this year.
There were people who were very happy. I can tell you, when I went down for lunch, there were people like, I just had a massage.
Well, good. I'm glad they're enjoying it. I feel bad that they don't get it tomorrow, but
So what's on tap tomorrow for you? What do you have to get done tomorrow?
Tomorrow is the same, a repeat of today. I just make sure the vendors are happy, make sure they're fed, just like children. You feed them and
they grow.
So I do that, and then meet new friends, make new friends, meet old friends, and
we're hugging now, guys. This is us hugging.
Audio
podcast. We got some hug.
And I love this weekend, and I won't let any of my family members try to take this weekend. I'm like,
nope. It's busy now.
I am busy the last weekend of February every year. I don't care if the twins are having a birthday. I'm just not going.
You are committed.
I am. I love it. This is what I live for the whole year, is this show.
And you are appreciated, and you are awesome.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I am appreciated.
It's nice. It's nice to be appreciated.
It is nice to be appreciated.
Well, thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you for interviewing me.
Yeah. And the vendors definitely were happy at the show, because Carol and the rest of the team did a fabulous job of taking good care of them. Here are some of the vendors telling you about the show in their own words.
Hi, my name is Rebecca Shear from Shear Celebrations in San Antonio, Texas.
How's your show going?
Awesome. This is always an awesome show in Austin. That Takes the Cake was the first show I ever went to and the first show I ever competed at. It's got a special place in my heart, and I will always be a supporter of Capital Confectioners and this awesome show.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so did you enter this year?
I did not. You know, ever since I opened the store, I feel kind of conflicted as to where should I enter. I help so many customers, and I don't feel like I'm a professional, but they all look at me like I should be. So I did not enter. I just like to enjoy everybody else's pieces.
What were your favorite pieces this year?
I was volunteering today, so I haven't looked yet.
Neither have I. That's fair.
Oh, my God.
I just keep asking people, and they're like, oh, I saw this, and I'm like, I've seen nothing.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the showpieces yet, so that is definitely on the to-do list tomorrow. One of my students from San Antonio, a little six-year-old, she came running to me and told me I had to look at her piece. So I got to see her piece today, and it was beautiful because every time she saw me, she had asked me if I had gone to see it yet. So it's always fun to see them young and excited about it.
Okay, so what's new and exciting in your shop world?
New and exciting. Oh, there's so much. This month we have Lila Loa coming to do two cookie classes in, well, this month, March, we're almost there. And then we have so many awesome artists coming. Karen Bordaleo will be here in July. And my friend just won a prize, so woohoo! And let's see, Karen will be here in July for two classes, 3.5 days. We're super, super excited about that. Her work is just, it blows me away. It amazes me. We also have Magic Chocolate will be back. Amber with Magic Chocolate will be back in June. And Michelle, we're working out some classes with Michelle Boyd for her to return. So just so many great artists that are coming for classes. And so many great new products that we're carrying too. Here in this show, you'll see some buttons floating around. So Shear Celebrations does make custom buttons for your business and your logo or anything you want us to say. We can do it with a button. So you'll see those floating around, and a lot of them came from Shear Celebrations.
That's right. We were talking on Facebook. I need to order some next year.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. So definitely check out our button. I know Avalon has a bunch of designs out, so it's a lot of fun.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Have a great time at the show.
Reese, Edible Art Supply by Lissy Cakes.
And where are you located?
I am located in Plano, Texas, right outside of Dallas.
What brought you to the Austin show?
Well, I've been coming to the show for since 2014. Recently moved to Dallas about 4 years ago. So I'm a cake decorator. I've been in the business for 17 years. Heard about the show. I know it's one of the largest shows in Texas. So, and I love it. Very excited to be here.
Talk to us about like what kind of stuff you specialize in and what you sell and that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, I currently sell cake decorating and baking supplies. I have lots of cookie cutters, molds, fondant. I have the edible dust, sprinkles. Some of my vendors are Bakery Bling, Sprinkle Pop, and CK Products. So I have a variety of products for baking and cake decorators.
And what has been selling well here at the show?
Yeah, the show seems like the cookie cutters have been really popular, and the luster dust, the edible dust, has been really popular here. So yeah, those are the big items. And actually, the sprinkles. A lot of people are kind of getting to know this company. They have glittery dust and glittery sugar. So it's been popular as well. I think it's been a great show. I'm kind of new to the business, so I've been meeting a lot of other vendors, and they've been giving me a lot of advice. So it's great for networking, and the customers have been very friendly. I've been talking my ear off. Exactly. I know. I'm hoarse, but it's been such a good thing. Such a good thing. I can't imagine. This is like the best thing ever. So I'm looking forward to coming back next year.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. And, okay, so a lot of what we talk about in the podcast is this is for people who are decorating cakes,
okay,
right?
Okay, yes.
So, like, they're working and they're listening.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so right now someone could be working on something and what frequently happens is it's not going well.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
What's your positive words or what would you like to hear at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning when you hate cake and stuff's bad?
Yep.
What are you going to tell them?
Oh, my God. I've been through it before. Keep going. Don't stop. I know you're tired. I've been there before. You keep going, and when you're done, it's going to be beautiful, and you're going to celebrate, okay? It's all worth it. I've been in the business 17 years, and I haven't stopped.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a pleasure meeting you.
This is Dominic Palazzolo with Marvelous Molds. We're here at That Takes the Cake in Texas, in Austin. And I have some really exciting things that have been kind of causing a buzz here. Look at this, Kim. I know y'all can't see this, but that is the knit Simpress. And do you see how it looks like I have Happy Birthday?
It does.
Knitted and right in there.
As a knitter.
Yeah.
It's lined up.
Yeah.
It is lined up.
Isn't that
so
something?
It looks like actual intarsia. We call that intarsia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Intarsia.
Intarsia.
Oh,
or common word if you don't know the word. But like that, it actually looks like it was knitted.
See that?
Well done, yeah.
Yeah, that's the chevron. So what
that
we do...
That I have that one.
Right. You just take that onlay and you put it on the fondant, and then you put that whole thing down into a Simpress, and you get that kind of an effect.
That is really cool.
Isn't that sharp?
Stacking the product.
A lot of people have been really reacting to this, so I'm going to make a video about it and to show people. But this is an example of the Simpresses, and on March 19th, we're coming out with three more designs. I don't want to say what they are, you know? I want it to be kind of a surprise, but I'll tell you, I've been working really hard to create something that was as popular as the knit, and I think we nailed it. So on March 19th, three new Simpress textures are coming out, and I think everybody's going to really like it.
I'm super excited. I've been eyeing the Flexibets.
Yes.
I think the Flexibets are genius. Talk about the Flexibets.
Well, you know, it's funny because everybody has tappets or click sticks or cutters. So, you know, they see that the Flexibets are available. It's when they come here and they say, all right, show me. You know, it's like, I dare you to impress me, you know. And so what I do is I just put it down. I just sheet the fondant and I put it right on the letter and I press down with a fondant smoother and I, you know, about 2 seconds has gone by and I look at them. I say, okay, we're done. And they go, no. And I say, yeah, we're done. This is the, and we just pop the letter or the number out, and that's when they really get it, that you don't have to smack it on a table or it's not sticking.
It's not going to go flying.
Right. And, you know, another thing you can do is you can melt like Jolly Ranchers and pour it into the letters because it's silicone. It doesn't
flexible
hurt them.
Flexible chocolate.
Yes.
You know, that's me.
Yes. Yeah, gummy. Anything that melts, you could pour in there. And so it's got a lot of flexibility, and they've been really popular at this show.
That's good. That's
so we just came out with Action Comic. So, you know, we got a lot of requests for that. I mean, if you look at all the movies and television shows, it's all Marvel and DC Comics, right? And there's a lot of kids growing up, and they're really into that kind of look. So the Action Comic has been really great. And then we are showing the Western font.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, well, you better have that in Austin.
I know. And that's been really, really popular. You know, when it was suggested to us to come out with a Western font, I thought, you know, wasn't really kind of my favorite. But, you know, it's got these little spurs, you know, on the sides. And all those spurs line up. And I was really surprised once we made it and I put it on a cake how attractive it is. It's not just for a Western-themed cake. I think it's a really pretty font, you know?
Yeah, because you can do that with, like, Carnival Circus.
Carnival Circus, absolutely. Yeah. So it's got a lot of, you know, applications. You know, it's not just for a wanted poster, you know?
So especially around here, I mean, like, just, you know, the boot cakes.
Yes, you know, yeah, sure, maybe sure.
You know the name easily, because who wants to cut all those spurs with an X-Acto knife?
Yeah, of course. So see, there's a customer right there, and, you know, she's checking out the Flexibet. And another nice thing that the Flexibet does is you can put a whole phrase like Happy Birthday on the cake.
Yeah.
And you can put it on perfectly. Did you try that? Yeah.
Thank you.
We have a customer thanking Dominic right now.
How did you use that? I mean, you know,
What do you think of that?
I love it.
Really?
I love it. It just makes it so much easier.
Did you actually try it? I showed you and you bought
you,
one.
You did it on the video?
Yeah.
And I actually did it. The first time I had a little bit of trouble because I was a little bit impatient.
Yes.
And I didn't crack it a little bit and then let it sit.
Right.
But the moment that I let it sit,
yes.
And it just peeled right off nicely. And it makes it so much easier.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, and I need to buy the other letter so I can actually do the names now.
Oh, yes. Great. Great.
So I can do the whole thing.
Well, thanks for coming back. I really appreciate it.
See, that's the thing, you know. It's like everybody's got letter cutters and the tools, but once you try it, it's kind of addictive.
Well, and honestly, okay, I have some molds.
Yeah.
For letters.
Yeah.
But you got to get it out of the mold without munching the letter.
Yeah, I know. And then you got to finger pack it in there, and it takes a lot of time. With this, man, you just bang them out, you know, and it looks really, really good. So we're really happy that the Flexibets are taken off. You know, that's what we want to do. We just keep on trying to think of things that is going to make a cake decorator's life easier, but. Sometimes, you know, when a product has a promise of easier, it doesn't look that good, you know? I mean, yeah, okay, my life is easier, but it doesn't look good, right?
Yeah.
So that's a prerequisite. Yeah, we're going to make it easier, but we want to make you look like a competition cake decorator, you know? Something you could enter in a show for a prize, you know? Or something you see in the magazines.
Yeah, it's the clean lines.
Like yes.
When I'm starting to see mm-hmm. Flexibet cakes, well, I mean, or the Chevron, I see your onlay cakes, and I know what it is. You know,
right.
I bought a lot of these
right.
products, so I know what they are. When I see it, what's striking me as just a viewer
yes.
is the lines are clean.
Yes. Yes.
It doesn't have those because of your genius with that self-cutting blade. I'm totally sucking up to you. It's okay.
No. I just don't feel like a genius, you know.
They never did.
The idea came to me and then I tested it. And who would have thought that a blade made out of silicone could cut fondant and other modeling paste so well?
But it works.
It does. And it gives you that beveled edge. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm really lucky. Really
it doesn't
lucky.
Kill your rolling pin.
Right.
Like, I got gem cutters. We all got old gem cutters.
Right.
And that's okay. But then you gotta pick it out with a new
mm-hmm.
tool.
Right.
It's not gonna bend out.
Mm-hmm.
And you only use your old crappy ruller when you're rolling across because you're gonna scrap your ruler. But this
right.
doesn't crop my ruler.
No, not at all. And so you know, it's funny because we came out with the onlays, and then that has morphed into a Simpress, which is a whole panel. That you can panel a cake with. And that has been really successful because, you know, even when I was, you know, I was trained as a pastry chef. I went to the Culinary Institute of America, and we used to cover cakes with marzipan. And that was a real challenge. It's the same method as fondant. But, you know, when you have somebody entering into the cake industry or even someone who makes cakes, you know, as a, on the side and sells them, you know, they've got a business going, you've got to have a lot of room. Forearms like Popeye
yeah.
to roll out this fondant. You got to pick that whole thing up and put it over a soft cake and then do all that, you know, sliding and pulling and everything like that. And when you break it down and you think, well, gee, I could do it in a different way. I could just panel it. You know, I could just make these really awesome panels and then put it around the cake.
That interlock.
Yes. And they all go together and you don't see any seam lines. That just makes it, again, really, really easy. And then you've got a pattern that just stops people in their tracks. So that's how we, you know, developed into the Simpress. If you were to kind of graph my career, right? Well, I put the blade on the molds, okay? That was a peak, right? Then we're back down to normal business. Then I came out with the onlays, right? Now that was huge, okay? That's a big peak. And then we go back and it's normal business. We come out with stuff. But the knit... When we came out with the knit, and it was just perfect timing, you know, we came out with it in early November, right in the cold season and Christmas and everything. We're still riding that wave of the popularity of the knit, and to our surprise, you know, a knit cake using our molds showed up in Martha Stewart's wedding magazine that quick. Yeah, and so really there's a lot of momentum. And see, you know, like we're looking at customers right now, and they got to touch it, right? And... when you look at it, it looks more like knit than real knit. And then people say, well, They don't get it. They don't know it's fondant, right?
Yeah, they're working out right now that it's a little
Yeah, but you know what? That's when your customers are doing that, right? They see this cake, and it's like, what? You know, and they think it's knitted, and they think you sleeved it with knit that you wove or something. You're going to take that off. Then you slice it and put it on their plate, and they're eating it. That's the kind of magic that you want, you know?
I mean, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, and everybody's really enjoying themselves, and that really kind of turns me on when we can get people to interact with our products like that.
Look,
you like that? You like that in our knit button?
Yeah, it's really cute. My grandmother decorates cakes and knits.
Oh,
so
good.
It's really cute.
Great.
To probably let you get back to demo.
Yes. Well, thank you for coming by. It's really great. And all you, we just had a conversation. I guess you're going to have to imagine what we're talking about in your head there.
We'll take some pictures and put them in the show notes.
Oh, good.
And you know that you can come on anytime.
You can
do the Facebook voicemail, and when you've got new products.
Okay.
And we'll just get it right into the show.
I didn't know I could do that. Well, this is the first time I've done this with you, and it was fun.
Well, there you go. See? I don't bite. I'm really actually very nice. Or at least I'm good at faking being nice long enough. Okay.
Well, it's nice talking to all of you. Bye-bye.
Standing canon on this show that we've declared Mike McCary the cake god, regardless of his protestations of our worship.
Mike McCary, he's the cake god.
And I managed to grab him for a short interview on the show floor, where he talked about some of his favorite entries. There are photos of everything he mentions in the show notes, so go check those out.
Show's going great. I just saw some phenomenal cookies. Somebody did an homage to Leonardo da Vinci. I love it. It actually spins around. It's made with fortune cookies and gingerbread. And you can ask Nick. I'm like, how do they get it so smooth? What is this stuff? Of course it was the mad now cookie scientist, Kimberly. Right?
You're buttering me up for something. I don't know.
I'm always buttering you up. I want you to do research for me. And so I get my 10-page recitation on whatever I need you to research. Are you kidding me?
Well, that was because you asked a question that had many answers.
Many answers, that's true. And you gave many, 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 many answers as well.
Well, I was like, oh my God, cake god wants science. I must give him the science.
Anybody wants to know how something works, pose it to Kimberly, the mad cake scientist, and you will get many answers and vast knowledge in the process.
Okay, but what else did you like in the show?
All the cookies were great. There's some beautiful cookie work there. There is a display that has little mice and an oven that's open. They didn't just make a kitchen. They opened up the oven. There's a rack in there, and there's the light in the back. It is perfect. The work is super, super clean. What else? There's a really cool cookie microscope over there that I couldn't understand it because it was kind of rough. I said, why did they make this so rough? Well, then somebody said, well, that's a cookie. And I went and looked at it. It was amazing. And there's a rat in front of it that's also a cookie. Kind of finished. So it's like a cookie sculpture. There's a really strange, weird piece over there called Adam Bomb. And it's this kid with his head blowing up. And it's kind of weird, but it's also kind of truly wonderful as well.
Are we luring you into Cookie Land now?
Cookie Land, yes, there is a subculture of cookies.
There is,
and I'm not a cookie person because I can't charge what I need to get for all these amazing cookies that you see on the internet. It's a hobby thing because I could, you know, in terms of retail and getting a reasonable price for something like that, I'd lose my cookie shirt.
Yeah, you can come compete.
Those are great for competition.
No one's making that thing for the Da Vinci thing for sale.
That's right.
Who would buy it?
That's right. Exactly.
So what's next for you?
We just finished our 4-week cake sculpting course. It went very well, and we're doing another one in October. And in between that, I'm going to sell cakes, because that's what I do.
You mean you actually sell cakes? Anyone actually still sells cakes here?
I primarily sell cakes. That's what I live for, is selling of the cakes.
I have told people about that pricing thing you talked about, where you get into like AA, AB.
We have, everybody wants to know about cake sculpting, and one of the things we teach in the class is how to market and price everything. And we have a very unusual system for our sculpted cakes, where it's like level A through level Z. Each level, like a level B, you have a certain set start price for the first 20 servings, and then you add a price per serving, anything you would add on to that. And we just start, as we go along, we drop cakes that come up in categories, so my office manager doesn't have to, because she meets with the clients. She doesn't have to ask me every time she needs. We have like 8 car categories, and she knows where to fit each car, and she knows exactly how to price it without talking to me.
Right. And of course, if people want to learn how to make cars, they can get your class in crafts.
That's right. I am the main car man, as you were. I'm the car guy.
Car guy.
That's me, car guy.
So, well, anything else you want to tell us?
Kimberly's the best. That's what I want to say. And we'll see. We'll end with that.
I'm just going to like melt into a pile of worshipful goo.
That's the best kind of goo.
Oh, and what he means by the dissertations I've sent him. He asked me a few years ago to evaluate a local brand of modeling chocolate for him before he agreed to use it in his demo at Cake International, because he needed to know if it behaves like the stuff he's used to. He wanted me to perform a slumping cone test, as in, at room temperature, how long does it take a tall, thin cone of hand-warmed modeling chocolate to slump over, and how much, because that's his gauge for how well he can make it stand up and do things while on stage. So I performed several tests in several ambient temperatures with several lengths of cone and several temperatures of modeling chocolate, so he could compare to his own preferred room temperature, but also have an idea of how it would be under stage lights and whatnot. So he was expecting something like, yeah, this stuff is okay, but I gave him data charts of temperatures and measurements and timings because that's how you do science, people. And he's right. If you ask me to test something and I have time to do it, you're going to get a thorough scientific answer from me. I also managed to grab Dawn Parrott as she was taking a break from the middle of judging.
Hey, Dawn.
Hey, Kim. How are you doing?
I'm exhausted. How are you? I'm losing my voice.
Yeah, we're pretty tired. It's been a long day of judging, and we're still going.
What have you seen that you like?
Oh, gosh. There's been a few really cool things. One of the show cakes over there has got some really cool techniques, some new, different ways of using some of the techniques we've seen in the past, but definitely fresh new takes on it. There's a couple of little model pieces that the details are beyond it. They're the tiniest little things. There's little mice with an oven. Lights are in
the
oven.
Mike just talked
about.
Oh,
my gosh, it's beautiful. But hands down, I think probably my favorite is the bug cookies in the Masters division. Oh, if you have to get a picture and get on your page because the bugs are amazing.
I'm in that category, so I've seen them.
They're just phenomenal.
That's not mine.
So far, I think that's probably some of my favorites. I haven't got to all of them yet because obviously, you know, we've been in our division, so we're still trying to finish judging.
Right.
And hopefully we'll get that done shortly so then I can get through and take pictures.
Cool. So how was your trip over? Because the weather was nuts.
Actually, it wasn't too bad. I just had fog on my way over, okay. So it wasn't too bad. But I was tired because I just flew in from Vegas Thursday night, packed my bag again, left Friday morning to drive over here. So not as far as you came, of course, but you know, a lot of traveling nonetheless. But it's always worth coming here. We love this show.
Are you having another one of those things where your family doesn't know who you are anymore right now?
My family pretty much never knows who I am. I'm like the lady who shows up once every couple weeks. So it's okay.
Thank you for talking with me.
Anytime.
I need to start counting how often people are on this podcast, because I think this is at least Dawn's third appearance. And if you want to hear more about her constantly busy travel schedule, go all the way back to episode 1, where she spoke about it at length. Then I ended up sitting in the Satin Ice booth and chatting with friends of mine in there.
Hey, this is Chris Aranda from Satin Ice.
How's your show going?
Amazing, as always. I love this show. It is just such a good vibes. Like, I love it.
What's really the best thing about the Austin show?
Can I say everything? The people, of course. All the cake people, the cake friends, our cake family. Like, meeting new people, getting to know new products. It is really, really good.
Seen any cool new products here?
Yes, a lot, a lot. I can tell you that, yes.
What's your favorite one so far?
Avalon's, like that stencil to make the new cake sketches.
The template.
The template, that's the word. The yeah, exactly, yeah.
Have you been looking at the cakes yet?
Oh, yeah.
What did you see that really knocked your socks off?
Everything, but there's this cake about like a galaxy. I just love it. It is hand-painted. Yeah, I love it.
Any others?
Yes, but I can't. It's a secret yet.
Oh, because were you judging?
No, but it's not enough. No, it's not fair. Not yet.
This isn't going to air for like 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. There's this chameleon that I love. It is amazing. Just like all the detail work. It is amazing. There's an octopus that I love. I really, really love. What else? I've seen a lot of flowers. A lot of really nice flowers. I'm in love with that ranunculus over there. It is just so cute. Yeah, and also the kids' work is really, really good.
Yeah,
it's getting better.
Ones, yeah.
I love it. It is really exciting, you know. I really like it. Yeah.
I just had my advanced kids class, and there was a 5-year-old boy in there
Oh.
who, and like his, okay, like the skills were 5-year-old rough.
Yeah.
But when we talked about like the aspect of what makes a face and what makes Green Lantern Green Lantern and like the iconography, which is a big word for him, right?
Yeah.
But he knocked it out. I'm like, I told his mom, I'm like, no, we need to get his kid back.
Oh, that's amazing. It is. Yes. It's really exciting.
Well, because you know Sam.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Of course, absolutely.
Yeah. Same thing. Sam was my student a couple years ago.
Oh.
And now here he is. He's representing
Sam. That's so
sweet. Nice.
I know. He's such a talented guy. I really like him. He's really nice. But also his mom.
Yep.
I love her. Yeah.
Well, he just taught 2 classes today.
Oh, I know. He's freaking talented.
He is.
Yes.
Did you enter the competition?
Yes.
Oh, are you going to tell us what you made?
Can I?
Sure, because this will be in 2 weeks. Like.
Oh, that's true. So I made a lime plant. So it's at the Special Techniques at the Master's Division. Yeah.
Oh, so, is it the one in the purple thing?
Kind of purple bluish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's mine.
I noticed that.
With water drops and that. Yeah, that's mine.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
That's amazing. you've scared people in your category.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. People were like, well, I made this, but
Oh, my. Oh, no. There's a lot of really good things there. A lot of talent. Like, the techniques are just amazing. Yes, I've been, like, amazed. Like, oh, my gosh. Really, I was the same. When I left my piece, I was like, oh, my gosh. Really, am I competing with this? Really.
Yeah, well, that's Masters. Right?
Yes, but it is such a nice feeling. Like, there's a lot of talent. I really like it.
Is that what you mainly do, is like flowers, or what's your general focus?
Yes, flowers. Compass flowers.
So, yeah. Like, you do a lot of wedding?
A lot. Well, you know, I'm from Mexico City, and I have my studio there, so I'm always, like, making cakes, always for weddings. Yes, I love weddings. It's my favorite, yeah. It is such a great show. I love and I really enjoy being here and just to see friends such as you and like everybody. It is really nice. And yeah, that's it.
And in this next bit, you'll hear how Chris wasn't quite done being the center of attention just yet. Also, if you should happen to hear something in this next interview that makes you want to email me, the address to use is podcast@eat-the-evidence.com. podcast@eattheevidence.com with dashes in the middle. Keep that in mind.
Hi, I'm Chef Mary Carmen Gonzalez, and I'm the proud owner of MCG Cake Design.
Hi, and where
I'm
do you operate out of?
Gonzalez.
Chris is causing trouble behind her.
So I cannot hear her. I cannot listen to her.
It's just that I love her. I love her.
Yeah, so he says. See? Yeah, I like bad love.
He's cute, so he gets away with it.
Oh, I know. And he's so freaking talented.
How's your show going?
Good. Amazing. I've been judging the whole day, so it's amazing the work that I've seen so far.
What are some of your favorite pieces?
There's a cookie that it's amazing.
Is it the bugs?
No.
Because Mike likes the bugs.
No. This cookie, it's like the rat.
Oh, okay. I've heard of this.
It's made out of, everything is made out of cookie, but it's like shaped. It's 3D. It's carved. Yeah, it's really nice. There's another one that I love. Well, Krispies. It's just insane. It's insane. I mean, I really thought they were real limes. So, and of course, I haven't seen the Master Professional. I haven't had time. But there's a lot of, a lot of good things. There's a lot of, which I'm surprised, in intermediate, there's a lot of piping, which is, yeah, like filigree and things like that, that I'm like, oh my God, I need to go back to do it.
Do you do a lot of piping?
I used to, you know, with Wilton.
Right.
Because that's when I was starting, it was only Wilton. But now that I want to enter the Oklahoma Sugar Show competition, I think I need to start piping right now. Well, not right now, but tomorrow.
So what are you mostly kind of making yourself these days?
Mostly fondant and figurines and trying how to... I like all about fondant, but I don't know how to model. It's kind of the downside of me, or I don't know how to say it, but I'm really trying to learn how to model faces and,
yeah,
you know?
Because we go to Cake International, we see all those...
Exactly.
Carla Puig faces. And, yeah, I know, exactly. I don't know.
Carla what?
Yeah.
Carla Puig.
You know, I just saw her at Cake International. She's been doing this for 2 years.
I know. I took her to teach classes in Mexico and then to New York. And since then, we have Chris, me, and her. We have like a chat and everything. And it's like, yeah, okay, don't show me anything that has to do with you and cakes.
Wait, did you get to see the closet full of molted heads?
Yes.
Because she said she was going to post a picture and she hasn't.
No, yes.
We need to see it. You need to tell her to post that picture.
Yeah,
she told the audience at Cake International that we would get to see that. And I put that on this podcast.
And she hasn't?
It's been a couple months since I checked, but I checked like regularly right after.
Okay, let me text her.
This is power, people.
Carla Puig. Put that picture.
We need your melted heads.
Yeah, yes. I'll tell her. Yeah. I'll tell her in a little bit.
So, yeah, because she just makes it look easy.
Super easy. And 2 years. When she told me, I've been doing this 2 years, I'm okay, I'm quitting. There's not enough room for me and you in this world of cake decorating.
You make good faces, though, the one you bought.
Frida. Yes.
It was clearly Frida. There was no doubt.
It was cartoonish. You know, but trying to get the dimensions, and this is something. It's where two worlds gets in here, like painters, artists, like sculptors, or think. I mean, they all come to this world because the medium is amazing, and it just like right. Should have taken more art classes when I was in school, but it's amazing. I mean, for me, proportions.
Yeah,
you know, because when you think, when you think in 3D, you see in 3D, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But when you try to, for example, carve anything, you really need to see in 3D, which I sometimes can't, because I just see it bidimensional.
No, that makes sense.
So
I bet a lot of people have that problem.
Uh-huh. So then you carve here, and then you didn't carve here. And then you think you're done, but no, you're not. So when I see like Carla, Liz Merrick, Avalon, and like all these amazing names, I'm like, Karen Portaleo. Like, what? What are you doing? Really?
But you make gorgeous cakes.
Oh, thank you. You know what? I love it.
You do a lot of bold color.
Yes. You know what? I love burrito.
Yeah.
So mostly and the Mexican Day of the Dead and everything. So, and it's Mexico. It's colorful. So, yeah, I like colors.
Are we having a drive-by? We're gonna have a
podcast contest. The first person who emails me and knows who just did a drive-by will find some kind of prize.
A bucket of sad nice.
Oh. Oh, will you send them a bucket of
satin? Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll do a pail
official
of
satin ice.
Yep. The new color, burgundy.
Because that noise has been on the show before. And if you are a listener to the show, if you are the first person to email me, Mary Carmen's going to send you a bucket of satin ice. Is that country limited?
Do they have to be in the U.S.?
No.
Right.
Anywhere. Okay. Anywhere, I'll send them the burgundy, the 2-pound burgundy.
That will be the first prize going out from this thing.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for it to be satin ice because you know how it feels about satin ice.
Who doesn't love satin ice?
Satin ice dark chocolate rules my world.
I know. I've heard that and it rules my world. And I'm getting everything in here, in my booty. Yeah, no, but I love my job. I love making cakes. I love working for Sun, it's the best. I get to know people. I get to travel. I get to know the world. I get to do a lot of stuff. And really, I mean, I'm blessed that I can do what I love and love what I do.
And you're good at it.
Oh, thank you. You're nice because you like me.
I just had a little boy, a little five-year-old boy in my class. And he said, I like you. Do you know why? And I said, why? And he goes, because you like me.
Oh,
I know. He was good.
Really?
This kid was good. I was just telling Chris, his actual like modeling skills were like five-year-old rough, like you'd expect.
Yeah.
But he knew what he was doing. It was deliberate. It wasn't just five-year-old, I'm going to stick this on here now. Now it's a monkey. He's like, he was breaking down why is Green Lantern Green Lantern. Because that's what the class was about. Like, about how to do faces and what makes a face a face. And he got it.
Wow, that's amazing. You know what? That's what I love about teaching kids. Like, I used to have a cooking school for kids.
Oh, I've heard.
I love to teach them because they're like little sponges, and they say these random things that they just laugh at them, and they're willing to learn. Some grown-ups, because we have our ways to do things.
Right.
So we're not that like open to change.
Yeah.
Even we would like to change, sometimes it's hard on us to do things different.
Yeah, I very rarely get kids in class and go, I couldn't do that. They get frustrated like anyone else. There's always the kid who wants you just to do it for them. But by and large, the kids don't have the fear that so many adults bring to it.
Exactly. I mean, look at Sam. Sam started going to Young Chefs Academy when he was 8. And look how far he's gone. I mean, now he's 13 and he's sponsored by a lot of people. I mean,
everybody. Is that nice?
The first one and only.
I wonder how that came about.
Because of me. Because I love him. I love him. He is amazing and he's really talented. And the thing, when I was listening to the podcast, because I know his background, I know how he cannot do sports, so he has to do different stuff. So his mom is so committed to him.
You should know he did real well teaching today.
I bet he did.
You'd be proud of him.
Oh, I am.
Proud of your boy.
I am. And I just saw his cake, so.
Oh, I haven't. See, I haven't looked at cakes yet.
Not a lot. I mean, but I've seen a lot of cakes, but he dragged me. You have to see my cakes. So I went there. And now he's working more and more and more and more. So it's good for him.
I was going to ask you, and you can say no to this. And if you say no, I'll edit this out. Okay. But do you want to tell the story about the eyelashes?
Of course. Yeah. Of course. It was 2 years ago.
Yep.
It was my first time in Birmingham in Kinky International. And I was like, I mean, I've always been afraid of cake competitions because I'm crazy and cake competitions just gets you to do better and better and better, right? And then you get to the cake competitions and you see your competition and you're like, why did I do this? So anyways, I look at the rules because Debbie Brown told me, check the rules because it's crazy. I mean, they're not allowed to put anything that it's non-edible. So I think that's when about I started seeing the work of Carla Puch. And I saw that she won like 2 years ago or a year ago or something. And her cake had lashes. And I asked her, are they real? And she told me no. And I was like, okay, let me email them. So I emailed the people from the organizers I don't know. And I asked them, okay, I'm trying to do this. This is a cake and part of it, just a little bit of part of it, is going to be a little modeling at Frida Kahlo. Can I use lashes, like fake lashes?
Because they're like FDA approved. Kind of like
If you put it in your face, you're not going to eat them.
No,
but it's food grade.
It's not going to poison the food.
Exactly. Right. So then, of course, I make my cake. It was kind of expensive, you know. I mean, was buying everything. Then I bought a box specially made for my cake that it was $150. Then I bought my ticket. So my flight was San Antonio, New York, Dublin, Birmingham. The cake was perfect. The cake was amazing. I mean, it made it perfectly to the competition. So I put my piece, I put all the flowers, you know, and the stress of just forming the line and get to register. And you only have so many hours to do that. It's crazy. And I had like too many flowers to put and too many things to put on my cake. Anyway, I put my cake there and I'm like so proud taking pictures and I, because it was an international category. So I was so proud. And then someone comes and tells me, oh, I mean, they're putting like the ribbons or the cards. Everything. And then I get there and I see that everybody has one, but mine. I just got like a little note that it said, I don't know what it said, because it was like three letters or something. So I went with a judge and I was like, what does this mean? Does it mean this, you were disqualified? Why? And she's like, I don't know. But if you wait a couple of hours, they can explain to you. I mean, the judges are going to be here. So, okay. So long story short, the judge comes with me and she tells me, yeah, it's because the eyelashes. And I email them. I mean, I emailed the organizers and they told me that it was okay to use them. Well, it's not. So, I mean, of course I was crying because, I mean, I was really proud of the cake. The cake, it was really nice.
It was really nice.
It was. And just for that, being disqualified, it's not fair. I mean, they say in the rules a lot of stuff, and I followed everything step by step. Yeah. And if I had a doubt, I email them. They tell me it's okay, and then out of nowhere, no, it's not. So yeah, I was devastated, and I don't think I'm gonna enter that competition again, yeah. Never.
But how did it end up resolving?
Nothing. They told me, oh, nothing. So I'm sorry, you're disqualified. We cannot do anything about it. So last year I emailed them because I needed the papers for the visa that I'm working on, and they sent me a bronze. So they didn't even send anything. They just sent me like you placed bronze. I was like, what? Like 2 years ago, I was disqualified, crying and everything, and now you're giving me a bronze?
I don't get it. So did they change it to a bronze and just not tell you?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. And I'm not going to ask if they got it wrong or what, but they gave me a bronze. So
maybe they did it over then, yeah. But it would have been nice if they told you.
Of course. Yeah, no, of course. I mean, rules are rules, and I'm a judge myself.
Right. Yeah.
So I know what they're looking for, right? I mean, not everybody. And it's a different country, I know, but yeah. I mean, mostly all of the countries have same things, same rules, same everything. So
well, I mean, I don't know if you saw, but there were some disqualifications this year that had the internet really talking, because there was like a cake, I think the lady was from China.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even know how many tiers, like so many tiers of string work. Cool. Like she brought this cake from China with string work, and it got disqualified because she didn't have a, what was it? Like, I think she had a dummy, and you could see the bottom of the dummy, so they didn't have a board under it. So yeah, she should have had it. Yeah, she broke the rule, and I get that personally, and I'm not saying that they're awful people, and they're very nice people who run the show.
No.
I get that. And I also know that, because I saw them posting, that it broke their heart to disqualify. Kind of, I'm like, you know, just over here in Austin, we just don't disqualify. So you just don't do as well.
Yes, true. Yeah, you deduct some points out of it. It's like, for example, today we had a cookie, an amazing, amazing cookie. And she had, or he, I don't know if it's a he or she, because I don't know. She or he had pins holding a little piece of cookie on like a brain that she made out of cookie as well and floating icing. I mean, then we were like debating, are we going to disqualify her? I mean, look at this. This is amazing. This is perfect. And we called Nick Lodge, and I was like, okay, the thing is, if I know that you can put something that it's not edible on a cake, I don't think in a cookie, but okay. Let's see. Let's say that it's okay. You don't put a pin. I mean, if a kid comes and he takes it out and he tries to eat, from that cookie, he's gonna try to get it into his mouth and he's gonna eat it. But what we agreed, it's we're not going to disqualify her. I just took the pins off the cookie, put them back behind a stuff that she had, and then we just deducted some points.
Okay.
But I mean, it's amazing. She did amazing. So, but yes, I mean, you have to have some certain, I mean, common sense.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you don't disqualify that amazing work.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm, again, they can run their show that way.
Yeah,
and
no,
we all
of course.
Know that, and that's fair. That it's just that different culture. I like Austin because it has the culture of assuming that you're an artist who isn't going to serve a cake to a client that way.
Exactly.
We don't disqualify here because we assume that if you're using... okay, we're not ripping open any cakes to see if you covered your internal thing with foil.
No.
Because you're not serving that cake.
Exactly.
We're assuming that when you sell that cake as a proper person, you're covering it properly.
Yes.
But in Britain, they really want to emphasize that you better be doing it right all the time. So that's that both are valid. I like Austin.
Yeah, me too. What can I tell you?
And I'm not just saying that because I sleep at Kana's house.
I want to go over there. Let's do a sleepover.
You know, I'm here Monday. When you go back?
Monday. I go back to. I drive back to.
Come, let's hang out sometime.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. I mean.
Okay, we're gonna have social plans here, but maybe we should wrap up the interview.
We can go shopping.
Shopping.
And then. Partying. Yeah, I'm Mexican. I'm sorry. I need to party.
I'm a teetotaler. Someone has to drink my booze for me. Chris, you want to drink my booze for me?
Yes, please.
Can we take a picture and then you can put it in here? I mean, we need to take a picture of him like this.
Yes.
He hasn't done anything the whole day.
Oh, yeah.
Chris is lying. He's laying on the floor right now. I'll stand up in a minute. We'll finish this interview saying I'll take a picture on the floor and we'll put that in the show notes.
Please. But you were just walking and talking.
I was just walking and talking. See? Nothing. Yes. Nothing. I was judging.
You were supposed to be judging, but you were just talking.
She was just not judging cake. She was just
really?
Judging you.
Exactly.
She sent me a message saying, this is freaking boring.
That's not true. I have proof.
I can show you that message. I can show it to you.
Okay, show her.
Are you sure you want me?
Oh my gosh, he's such a liar. I hate him. I look at his face
The Austin Show is the serious show where we take everything very seriously and are always professional.
Yeah, all the time. We never dance, we never sing, we never do anything. No. We
behave. Definitely no whooping.
Oh, no.
Or cackling.
And he's like...
Okay, I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to take a picture of him on the floor. Thank you.
Thank you. And I love your podcast. Aww. I love your kid. I love everything that you have. Like, really. It really helps us keep going. Aww,
you know
it's
I love
encouraging.
You. Oh, I love you too. Hugs, we're hugging. This is like the second hug on air. We've got Daddy Hug Carol. Like, this is a hug.
This is a Mexican hug. So you...
Again, the first person to email me to say who came by the Satin Ice booth to make that honking noise, something they did on a previous episode, and it's been mentioned in other episodes as well, will win a 2-pound bucket of the new Satin Ice burgundy color. Email me the name of the person who made that honking noise to podcast@eat-the-evidence.com. The address is in the show notes as well if you need it. Please make sure you use only that address. I have a lot of email addresses, so to be fair, I'm only going to go by the timestamp using that email address. As Mary Carmen said, she's willing to send that bucket anywhere in the world, so jump to your email right now. The answer will be given in the next episode, which will air on March 22nd, 2018. So if it's past that date while you're listening to this, don't email me because the contest is already over. Thank you, Mary Carmen and Satin Ice, for the first official prize contest on this podcast.
My name is Rose Iniger. I'm with Satin Fine Foods, a.k.a. Satin Ice. I am from San Diego, California. However, I work for this New York-based USA company. And I love my job. I am the sales manager for the retail division, which allows me to go out to cake and candy stores. Totally exciting. I get an opportunity to go out and meet shop owners, cake decorators, and, you know, get the feedback on all sorts of items in the industry, and especially fondant. What works, what doesn't work, what brands they like. And usually I'm hearing, oh my goodness, we love satin ice. Sometimes, you know, there's other brands thrown in there, which of course...
Oh, that's reality.
Yes. So for a retail shop owner, of course it's very important to have all brands. But in my experience with working in this industry, I have found so many wonderful people. And at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter, you know, what they're using. It's just so great that they're so passionate about what they do.
Right.
Of course, it would be great for them to, you know, use our product. But
right. I mean, to be fair, I like satin ice because of its properties of drying. Like when I do figures,
yes.
It's good for figures.
Yes.
There are other fondants that don't set up, which if you do a lot of draping, that is more valid and what you want.
Absolutely.
So it is valid to have preferences, but I will put satin ice dark chocolate in my face anytime.
Do you want some that's right under the...
I wish, but like I can't afford the poundage fee for my airfare, so...
Yes, no.
But if you guys want to mail me any, I'll just say that I will say on every podcast episode how much I love that stuff.
Absolutely. Well, I have to say the one thing about the chocolate is that it's made with chocolate.
Yes, and it's, you can taste it.
Yes, it's not imitation.
Yes.
So that sold me on it. And you know, I started with a retail store years ago, and so my first experience was ordering satin ice and all the fondants as a vendor. But as I started teaching with it and using it myself, it was like, oh my goodness, it's so consistent. And of course the dark chocolate, because I'm a chocoholic.
Yeah.
I was like you, stuffing it in my face. Oh my gosh!
I mean, it's a different beast. It doesn't behave like the other satin ice. So like, it does because it's softer, right?
Yeah.
But like, it's so gorgeous on a cake. I mean, I'm basically doing an ad for you right now. Like, it's like when I did Shannon and Sam on.
Yes.
I was like, they're not a sponsor of me. They just may as well be for how often I will say on this podcast that I love it because it yes. takes airbrush gold like anything. I made a holy grail. Okay, like the holy hand grenade.
Oh.
Holy hand grenade for a man. It was actually his last birthday. But this is what his kids wanted for him, and they were friends. Like this was a friend cake.
Yeah.
And I made a dark chocolate cake with dark chocolate buttercream, and I put satin ice dark chocolate on it, and then I airbrushed it gold, and it was gorgeous, and he said it was the best cake of his life.
Amazing. That is so just so heartfelt. I mean, it makes me, it's actually giving me goosebumps. So if this was televised and you can see it. Yeah, as an end user as well, it's so great to hear that.
Yeah.
And the fact that you have such good luck with it and
yeah.
you can make somebody happy.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing that I wanted to talk to you about is that satin ice is very involved, not only with the cake community, but with charities. So with our partnership with Icing Smiles, we're giving back and helping those children be able to have their last birthday and have a birthday cake and things like that. So
right. And like we've mentioned Icing Smiles on the podcast before, but in case anyone doesn't know, it's a U.S.-based group that does cakes for kids in hospital, kids in long-term care, for ill children, whereas Bake-A-Wish, which we've also talked about before, does kids in shelters.
Yes.
So, but these are both really important groups that we like to pump up on the show.
Absolutely, yes. And there's, you know, of course, there are so many other types of charities and other organizations that are very important that we will also support, and we do support, especially with fondant. So this company is more than just the product. It's all about... Of course, our community, all about the cake industry, but it's also all about the people. It's really all about the people. And I feel very blessed But a little bit about the show here, some of the competition pieces, I'm blown away.
What'd you see that you liked?
I can't even tell you. I mean, just the artistry. It's gone beyond. You have a lot of figure modeling now. You have a lot of different types of techniques that are more trendy, and a lot of replication of things that you would see, you know, like items. So not necessarily just cake.
Right. Beyond the flowers and string work, the Austin gets a lot of, things that are things in real life.
Yes. And then, you know, there's the cake where you have the garden scene, and they have all the small details that are so expertly done. It just blows me away. So the level every year has tended to just surpass itself. I'm so glad that I'm not competing.
No. You should do it.
No. I will support all our competition and all of our competitors, but I'll leave it to all of the people that want to enter and be competitors. So
when you look at cakes, can you actually go, I can see that's my product right there?
Sometimes it's very deceiving. Yeah. You know, because
it's
they may,
dry, so it's hard to tell,
but, yeah, and they might have transformed it, and maybe they've also mixed it with another product. Sometimes our product is mixed with modeling chocolate, especially if they're trying to sculpt with it a little bit more. Yeah, a lot of times, especially colors, like our new colors. We've got the burgundy and the navy, and I've seen some of that here, and very beautiful. Yes, and then of course we've got our petal peach. So we've got some new products coming out on the forefront, and we're hoping everybody stays tuned and goes to our website. I can give you a little bit of a hint. So with our launch of the burgundy and the navy petal peach, we just recently launched the white and the chocolate in the smaller size, the 4 ounce. So as a little hint to next month, we are giving a really great push to all of our pastels, and there might be some pastels in, let's say, the 4.4 foil. With our product line, we've got the 4 ounce, 2 pound, 5 pound, 10 pound, 20 pound, but the 4 ounce is so important because if you need just a little bit,
that's right,
you don't have to open a 2 pounder, or maybe you do need the 2 pounder later on, but right now,
yeah, sometimes you just need a bit,
right? So you've got springtime cakes, you've got Easter, maybe you're doing cookies, and you need just a little bit. It's perfect. So again, we've got the nice pastels coming out in the 4 ounce. Lavender, baby blue, baby pink, pastel yellow, pastel green. It's very exciting stuff.
Are those USA only right now?
USA, and I believe we're launching into international. So USA first. We're always doing that first because we're based here.
Right.
And then we have to also comply with international standards.
Right.
So whenever we launch something, of course, look on social media, Instagram, Facebook. We're always going to send out a post and let everybody know about what's coming up. Our labeling on our package all the time, whether it's a bucket or a box, it's always going to be stamped according to the international standard. So if you're, let's say, in the UK, it's going to be in accordance to UK standards.
Okay.
So
that's good to know, because it's really hard to tell with an import product.
Absolutely.
And you just look at it and you're like, but 0209, what does that mean?
So for US, usually when we do a date, well, actually they do have it. Yeah, so 28 May.
We're looking at one right now. It says 28 May 2019.
Yes. Yeah. So we try and put it in international standards.
Because I had one that was 0209 and I didn't know if it was expired or.
Yeah.
Yes. I was so confused. So that's good.
Yes, it's good to know. But even though we've got a date stamp on it, really, if you have it in your cupboard and it's open, it's still good for a good 6 months.
Well, because you guys have been so generous over the years donating to this show, I used to run the kids' table. And we would, at the end of the show, one of the volunteer perks was we would take home
you know, because we couldn't sell a half-open bottle of satin ice, right? Not a bottle, a tub.
Yeah.
So we would, volunteer perk was, we divvied up these things. Yeah. And as someone who didn't sell a lot of cakes, that was like my year's worth of fun. I mean, like occasionally I'd go and have to buy more. But it was always good pasta. And like, and then like if you had one at the back of the cupboard that was 2 years old, eventually it gets that kind of soapy smell. Then you know. But it takes, it's always good past the date.
Absolutely. And then I was telling a lot of the decorators, and especially like retail shops, don't throw it out. Use it for your dummy cakes.
Exactly.
And
your competition piece.
Yes. Do your display cakes. Take pictures. It's real important to, you know, stay relevant. And maybe you're not too certain about a technique or something like that. Practice. And practice with your old stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then you can, of course, open your new stuff for all your clients and your friends and
someone's
family.
Someone's actually eating it. Yes. Give them the fresh. Obviously, we're not encouraging anyone to poison a client. That would be bad form.
Right.
But yeah, you can use it for competition. You can use it for practice.
Yeah.
You can use it to, I mean, I experiment a lot. That's kind of what I'm known for.
Yes.
I just had Mike McCary on here saying he's telling everyone how. Ask him. She'll run your experiment for you. But, yeah, so, like, having fondant around where I don't feel like it's wasting, quote-unquote,
right.
Because it's already past date, it means I can run this and I don't have to worry that it's not being eaten.
Yes, absolutely. And then the other piece of that, too, is if you can – you well know you can make your pieces well in advance. So if you're making accent pieces, mm-hmm. your flowers, you can get that done and it'll stay forever.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Just as long as you keep it dry.
Yes. Yes. Keep it covered, you know, in a box or somewhere where it's going to be dry.
In our house in England right now are the show pieces I brought to the show, that I made with the old satin ice from the previous show.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I won first in showcakes in 2010 and second in 2011.
Yes.
I still have those pieces. But here's the thing. We haven't actually opened the box from the shipping container. It's been sitting in our house. So it's like this mystery box of whether or not it survived. If it survived overseas shipping, I need to post that. Because that's pretty, that will show you how strong that stuff is.
So, Kim, you're going to hashtag satinice.com on Instagram. But I'll tell you, I will bet you, unless it's been thrown like some of our carriers, you know, I'll bet you it's in one piece.
It survived a lot of other things. I sometimes would take those cakes to classes or parts of them to demonstrate things. And, occasionally I'd knock something that was sticking out off.
Yes.
You know, the piece that shouldn't have been built like that anyway, kind of like the poor design choice, you know.
Right.
But like, yeah, I'm actually reasonably certain that as long as it stayed dry, and kind of if it didn't at this point, I don't want to open the box because it'll be soup.
Right.
But I
think
I'm reasonably certain. We're gonna clean out that. My husband and I will clean out that room eventually.
You're gonna find that you'll have at least a majority of the cake. It may not look like it did when you first created it, but
oh no, it got tons dusty. It got dusty, like so. I had to clean it. Oh, but so we were talking earlier about my avatar on Facebook, Marvin. Marvin's made us
satin ice. Awesome! It is absolutely
beautiful.
That is my
little satin ice, Marvin. And I mean, I have that as an avatar to show. Because cake people look at that and go, that's a giant ball head on tiny little ankles. That person had skill.
And, you know, anybody really, if they're patient and they're kind to themselves, you really can create anything you want, right? You have to be patient with yourself. But that piece is so amazing. And I do hope you did the hashtag satinice.com. Hashtag satinice on Instagram.
I don't post on Instagram very much.
I'm mostly
Facebook lately. So I used to do G+, and it kind of bailed on G+, and so now it's mostly Facebook.
Yes, because our marketing department, actually all of us at Satinice, want to see these great, beautiful pieces. So in order for us to see it, I mean, of course, I can't be on Facebook all day long, but it's really nice to see what people are doing with our product and their talents and sharing their techniques. So because we're personal friends, I get to see your stuff,
right.
But you know, it would be nice for other people to be able to see your stuff.
Okay, well, so there you go, listeners. If right now you're working on a cake and you're using Satin Ice, when you take a break later, which you're well-deserved because you are working real hard right now, and we all know that.
Right.
Our listeners are working really hard. When they take their break later on whatever social media, they should tag you into the post.
Absolutely. We want to see it for sure. So hashtag Satin Ice for Instagram. And then just the @ Satin Ice for Facebook. We are excited to see it. And then we run like all sorts of different promotions and contests all the time. And it's always posted on our social media.
And I will link in the show notes
to
all of those to make sure people have liked the pages. And we'll get that going.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you for being on.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And on behalf of Satin Ice, I thank you as well, too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And you, all you listeners, we can't wait to see what you're doing. So, happy caking.
A new exciting feature of the show this year was a pre-qualifying round for the Cake Designers World Championship by the International Federation of Pastry, Gelato, and Chocolate. Here are U.S. organizers Kathleen Lang and Sydney Galperin to tell you all about it.
I'm Kathleen Lang. I'm here from San Diego, California, and I'm representing the International Federation of Pastry, Chocolate, and Gelato.
And I'm Sydney Galperin, and I'm from SimiCakes.com, here from Florida. Also supporting the International Federation of Pastry, Gelato, and Chocolate.
Yes. And
so you've got a special contest going on.
We do. We're looking for the finalists to compete in the USA division in Milan, Italy. So we're doing semifinals here at That Takes the Cake. We're doing San Diego, SoFlo, and then
Atlanta.
And we will be getting first, second, third, if that's however many that are entered. And then we will do a final judgment on all the winners in order to find the final selection. And so we have amazing sponsors that are going to actually help raise money and for the gifts for our first, second, third prizes.
Very cool. So did you get a lot of entries this year?
We've started. There was three here, which was good. There was supposed to be four. So we're starting. It's the first time ever offered. And we have, I think, two or three in each show coming up so far.
But yeah, we're very excited, especially just starting out. You know, we want to obviously spread the word as much as we can and build up from this, but we're really excited to have this basis to start with and get everybody excited about it because it's going to be a really, really cool thing.
And we're having membership. We're doing membership drive for a USA division. So we're hoping to give everybody a step up in the pastry and cake design world and give more quality, especially with demonstrations, classes. We want to hold, like maybe a yearly meeting at some of the different cake shows. So we want it to be about everybody.
Yeah, community. Definitely. We want a community and everybody to get together and support each other and, you know, meet more people in the industry.
Well, that's really cool. Okay, so anyone interested should go where to sign up?
So the next registration will be for the San Diego Cake Show, and you could register there. You can register online for the actual organization, federation. And we have all that information. We also have a Facebook page that also links you to it. And it's the FIP USA division. So you can, you know, ask us, contact either one of us, and we can steer you in the right direction.
Do you want to say the website?
The one for the federation is internationalfederationpastry.com. It's all spelled out.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for supporting us.
And here's some more love from other show attendees.
Hey, Kim, it's Mitchie. I am calling you to chat about That Takes the Cake in Austin. I am fresh out of Austin, man. I am exhausted. It's taken me at least 2 days to get back into the swing of things, but it was a great trip. I really enjoyed hanging out with all of the vendors and demoing for Avalon School of Cake Design, as well as our friends over at Cake and Crafts, which is fondantsource.com. loads of fun. I enjoyed seeing all of the art. My goodness, there is some strong talent out there. Over 300 entries. It was not an easy task for this judge to be able to go through and judge all of the different categories that were assigned to us, but it was most rewarding. I do hope I get to see you next year. I also want to add that the Capital Confectioners Group, hats off, they are one of the best committees that I have ever had the pleasure of working with. Everyone is just so lovely and nice, and they ask you, hey, is there anything you need? Is there anything I can do for you? And I'm so used to being like, hey, can I get you anything? So it was really nice to have that warm Texas hospitality that you hear about. I love the Austin show. It's one of my favorites, and I can't wait for next year. Toodaloo for now.
Hi, I'm Haley, Haley Boykin. I'm with Haley's Cookie Cakery right here in Austin, Texas. I do cookie cakes. That's all I do.
Cookie cakes.
Cookie cakes.
What's a cookie cake?
So it's a giant chocolate chip cookie, and it's covered in buttercream icing. And they have different designs. They're all two-dimensional, though, so it's not like cakes like here at the cake show.
Oh, well, I mean, that's still a thing that people clearly want.
Yeah, yeah. Popular demand.
So did you compete?
No. Glad I didn't. This was my first cake show, so I've never been.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I'll definitely do something next year now that I have kind of a feel of what to expect, I guess.
So what was your favorite thing at the show?
Oh.
Or talk about the show. Like, Jet, what did you love?
What did I love? The people. It was amazing. It was great getting to meet people and build those relationships. I did like a Facebook Live because I have a community as well. And I was talking about that, like, the cakes are awesome, but they're going to change. But the people, we're going to see them next year. And we're going to keep seeing them. So getting to know their stories and why they did what they did. And that's the stuff that really counted. I really like that.
Did you see any particular entries that you loved? Or?
Okay, so let me preface this. I am a really big Prince fan. Because,
I know which one you love.
Yes, because my mom was so into Prince. So I grew up with it, every single song. And then so like the In Memoriam Prince submission was hit home.
It was really good. It was in beginner, wasn't it? It was really good.
Yeah, yeah, I was really impressed. And the facial, just the detail on the face was awesome.
So, but I just heard you talking about you're part of Capital Confectioners.
Yeah, yeah, I'm part of the club. It's awesome. Great people there, too.
So what drew you to the club?
The community.
The communities. You're all about the community.
I am all about people. I mean, look, I'm doing hard labor right now, and that's just not my cup of tea, let me tell you.
We totally just stopped hard labor to have this interview. It's not at all a scam that I'm appearing to do other work so I don't have to bend to the floor anymore. It's totally legit.
Yeah, no, really. I like the people part, but, I mean, it's not so bad. We couldn't have the people part if we didn't have the hard labor, so.
That's right. When you're decorating something and everything's going wrong, what are the words you wish someone would tell you?
It's all right. It's going to be just fine. It's totally different with cake, but with cookie cakes, you can just easily scrape it off and keep going. And I remember when I first started, I was really hard on myself because, you know, you're really shaky whenever you're first starting to learn how to write and to do the designs. But someone taught me early on that you can grab just a butter knife and scrape that icing off and just keep going. Mm-hmm. No one will know the difference, you know?
Right.
So that's... I wish someone would have told me that. And I guess I did have several mentors that did tell me that.
Well, and now you've told other people.
Yeah, now I've told other people. Thanks for giving me the platform.
Well, thank you for talking with me today.
No problem.
Can you make a note in your podcast that she is the best new... She is the best new club member that we have had in a long time. She's amazing.
That's from Genevieve. Well, Genevieve, introduce yourself on my podcast.
Oh, well, I'm Genevieve Levicki. I'm a member of the Capital Confectioners.
And what's your business?
My business is Nerd for Cakes. I make cakes. The nerdier, the better. The crazier, the better.
There are reasons why we're friends.
Yep.
So we were just saying how we were skipping out on hard labor. I was pretending to do this work to skip out on having to bend anymore after I filled that box for you over there. So how much do you hate me now, Genevieve? Because you're sitting on the floor actually taping boxes.
Oh, I don't mind. You're all right. You're one of the better.
Thank you guys very much for being on.
Thank you, and thank you, Genevieve, for the kind words.
lastly, but far from least, after the show, I managed to get a quick call out to the winner of a pile of awards from this year's show, including my personal favorite award, Innovator of the Year.
Joining me now is cake and sugar artist Shelby Bauer, co-owner of Shelby Elizabeth Cakes in Houston, Texas. At the That Takes the Cake show in Austin, she just won Best of Division, first place in Individual Sculpted, second place in Gravity Defying Cakes, People's Choice, and Innovator of the Year Award for 2018. And she's here to tell us all about her amazing and unique cake. Welcome, Shelby.
Thank you so much, Kim, for having me.
I'm so glad you're on. Your cake was amazing. I was taking so many pictures of it. I should have taken a video, duh, but I need to find a video.
Well, I have one on my page if you need to see one.
Oh, excellent. We will link to that. In fact, we'll make sure we've got, you know, all your social media and your website links in the show notes. Could you tell us about it?
So I actually had designed this cake for a celebrity baby shower. And it didn't end up working out because the dates didn't work out. And the mountain was actually supposed to be like a crystal mountain and like a pink hot air balloon. And then when I found out the theme was science, I thought I really want to change this concept into something that would work for That Takes the Cake because I really wanted to make it. You know, you get an idea in your head and you just want to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I just transformed it into an earth science themed cake. So like a geology themed cake. And yeah, just tried to make it as much cake as I possibly could, which was really difficult.
Right, because that definitely gets more points the more real cake you have in there.
Yeah, so the whole bottom of the earth, that whole bottom sphere, that was all cake. Everything was cake. I didn't use any rice cereal treat at all.
That is amazing for a sphere, because, I mean, that's when you see tutorials for how to do a sphere, they often start with half a thing of styrofoam, and I'm like, no, you can't do it, but you need to know what you're doing to make a sphere in cake.
Yeah, and I've made some pretty crazy cakes before that weren't necessarily spheres, but I mean, I've done it where it's on a smaller scale, like a little cereal bowl or something, but I've never done something that size. It was pretty large. So I was, you know, praying to the cake gods that it would stay together.
Well, the cake god named Mike McCary definitely noticed your amazing cake because he was one of the ones he was telling me about.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to meet him.
Oh, we'll make that happen next year then.
Yeah, I've been dying to meet him. I'm obsessed with him and his work, so.
Yeah, all of us are. He never likes to hear that, but yeah, it's true. But, okay, so you, in particular, you had these clouds with the lightning going through them. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I believe this is what I won the Innovator Award for. They didn't make it clear exactly what I won it for, so I have two things it could be. So the clouds are what stumped all the judges. I got feedback afterwards that nobody knew how I did it. And then when they finally found out, they had all guessed wrong. So what I did was used pastillage that I made myself and added some extra powdered sugar to it so it was real dry. Rolled it up in little balls, kind of gave it like 30 seconds to form a crust on the outside because you know how pastillage dries out really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then put it in the microwave for about a minute to a minute 30, and it expands. And this is it's an old way of making coral. But what I did was I took it a little bit further by carving out the inside of these little pastillage puffy balls and then gluing them together and with raw icing. And then I had some rain lights inside. And the rain lights are like these LED lights that you can get for Christmas time. They kind of light in a pattern, like flowing down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's perfect for lightning.
You know, I've seen those lights all over the place. And having looked at your piece, didn't even occur to me that that's what those were. That was amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know, and what happened was when I carved out the inside of these pastillage balls, I don't know what to call them, these, because they use it for coral. So like these little whatever they were, it carried the light through in a completely different way. And it's really beautiful. At the show, you could barely see it, but I did make a video at home of with the lights dimmed. So I can't wait to post that so people can really see how much that really looked like lightning.
Oh, it did. I mean, it did at the show. As I was walking by, you know, I looked at it first. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Hey, wait a minute. That's lit up. And then, like, I stood there watching, and I took several pictures so I could see, like, from picture to picture, that one's different. Like, I don't even know why I wouldn't think to take a video. I was just so tired at that point. But it was like, that would have just been easier to take a video. But it really did, because of the way it shot through the different clouds, it really did look like lightning and clouds. It was amazing.
Yeah, and you know, I redid those clouds 3 times. I started off using gelatin sheets that I crumpled up into little balls, and then that just looked like trash bags.
Yep.
And then I did the same thing, but then I covered it in, like, the gelatin sprinkles, that gelatin glitter.
Right.
And then that looked like trash bags covered in glitter. And then I was like, okay, I need to figure out how to make a cloud. And that's when I came up with the Posillage idea.
That is what you got Innovator for, because I was talking to Mitchie Curran afterwards, because I was counting raffle tickets, and somehow during the award ceremony, I was counting tickets, and I managed to miss who got Innovator, except that it clearly wasn't me. And so I was like, wait, who got Innovator? And Mitchie said, oh, that it was Shelby, and because of these clouds, and she put lightning through it, and she was microwaving Posillage, and we're all amazed. So.
Oh, okay, good to know. Yeah, because no one ever told me.
Oh, yeah, well, just because, like, it's a bit of a frenzy at the end.
I think that's what it was for, but I didn't know for sure.
Yeah, well, that's definitely what it was for, and it well-deserved. Okay. It was an amazing effect. I mean, you nailed it. It was just perfect.
Yeah, they looked like they were going to float away, and, you know, I had redone them so many times that when I finally got to that point and they looked like clouds, I was just so excited. And I kept looking at them, and they just looked like they were just puffy little clouds about to just fly off into the sky.
Mm-hmm. You could teach that. You should, like, yes, we're telling people how it's done, but it's different to see it done. Like, you could totally sell, a tutorial or a PDF or even, like, teach classes on that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I would love to, especially incorporate it into something else. I'm already designing some other competition pieces where I might use it. I might not.
I mean, like, I'm already thinking what I have some Posillage, because my entry had Posillage on it, but I still have the rest of the lump because I used a mix.
Yeah.
So, like, I used, you know, a maybe 1-inch ball of, like, a whole log of it. And I just put the rest of it in the freezer, and I'm like, what else can I use that Posillage for? And I'm like, I might have to find an excuse to use some clouds.
Yeah, try it out. It's really fun to make. It's really satisfying because you take this little ball of Posillage. I mean, they were, like, maybe 1/2 inch in diarameter. Maybe 3/4 inch in diameter, and they just blow up in the microwave. It's awesome.
That's so cool. I mean, microwave marshmallows, they do the same thing.
Yeah, and you have to experiment with the timing because sometimes it can collapse. But once you get it down, it's really fun, and it's really satisfying to see all these little clouds on your baker's rack.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
But I mean, because you also, was that, I assume, ice malt water?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was it melted by the end of the show?
My waterfall did okay. And I think because I did my waterfall way in advance, but I poured my ice malt board literally at 2 a.m. before I left for the show. And I think it was that day was so bad for ice malt. So my ice malt board just totally was annihilated.
Yeah, I bet. Because we were trying to dismantle the piece, Nicole Williamson piece of the blue man with the glowing eyes.
Right.
She left it behind, and
that
we were trying
gorgeous.
To dismantle it. And I've been telling everyone, she needs to teach a structures class because we could not take that apart. We just could, like, we were all,
oh, really?
Like, 4 of us trying to rip it and bend it, and it was, like, indestructible. But as part of that, because it had some isomalt, too, and my fingers touched the isomalt, and they went into it. And I'm like, it's so humid in here. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And
pretty
my
much
piece.
Everybody's isomalt was ruined. My waterfall did okay because I think I did it way in advance and I had sprayed it and sealed it.
That
but
way,
I think it was just that period of time. Those, like, 3 days were just really bad for isomalt.
They were bad. I mean, there were cakes that lost their faces.
Yeah, I saw that. That was really creepy looking.
Yeah, mine was gingerbread. And the gingerbread was rock hard when I left the U.K., and it was within a few hours of being in Austin, it started to get soft and it started to break before I even got it to the show. And then on the Sunday when TN had me drop it, I'm really hoping I get a video of that in time for the podcast to go out. But I dropped it. And so like we did it deliberately, like, you know, to smash it. And because I couldn't take it home to England. And it kind of thunked. And when I picked it up and I could feel the inside of the gingerbread, it was wet like a sponge.
Yeah, you know, gingerbread really absorbs water like crazy from the air. I have a tip for you. I don't know if you already do this, but I do a lot of gingerbread.
Oh, yeah?
And if you take royal icing and you back all your gingerbread pieces in royal icing, then they'll be more stable and they won't absorb as much water.
Oh, that's a thought. Now, see, I did have royal icing between some of the pieces, but it turns out Renshaw royal icing maybe is not so good because it actually never set up fully. But my pieces my pieces were then, they had modeling paste, which is like you'd call Mexican paste, I think. It's the half and half fondant and gum paste. Here they call it modeling paste. I had that. That was what was covering all my seams because I had it matched to the gingerbread. So there were things still hold. Like, it still held together, but it was just like a lot of the gingerbread was exposed because that was part of the piece, and it was just absorbing water like a sponge. And I mean, Heather Berkshire's piece beside mine that was gingerbread, her gingerbread was melting on the first day. It was just such a humid room. So I'm so glad your pastillage clouds held up to that.
Yeah, they're hard as a rock still.
Are
that
they?
Thing really, it was really sturdy. It did really well on the way home, too. I have it in my kitchen right now. I don't know what to do with it.
Okay. Well, you know, that's actually a good data, too. If that pastillage structure is holding up well in that amount of humidity, that means anyone can use that kind of structure in any kind of weather.
Yeah, definitely. And I think a benefit of the way that I did it, the pastillage clouds and the royal icing was hard as a rock before it got really humid.
Yeah.
So I had that already finished. And I think that really helps, especially like, you know, the whole earth that I had made, that was made, done, dried out, the royal icing. I covered the whole thing in royal icing, the earth part. That was hard as a rock. So I didn't have any issues with my structure falling apart like some people did, because I don't think the cake even was able to absorb moisture because it was just so dry.
Oh, that's good. And I assume, like, so you did the thing where you had the central support and basically plates, and that's how you got a sphere that big, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of those newbies don't know that thing.
Yeah.
It's more like, you know, you get, like, one of the first cake pans I bought was that Wilton sphere pan. And you go, like, because you can make a ball that size and it probably won't fall on itself. But it's gonna sort of look deflated, enough. Right? And so then people think that they can make a big sphere without internal structures. Like, no, you're gonna need to know how to run the plates.
I have a picture on my Instagram of the inside. I think I had at least 4 plates in there.
Right, I bet, because that was huge. That must have been fun. Did it come assembled, or how did you bring it in?
It came assembled. I live in Houston, so I just drove it to Austin. I prefer to drive. Like, I'm doing SoFlow, and I'm going to drive all the way to Miami because I just don't trust airlines and putting stuff together when I get there.
Oh, I'm with you. I mean, when I lived in Austin, if I'd gone to SoFlow, I would have driven a piece. It would have been easier. I mean, I had a Prius. So, you know, I could take that gas.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Don Parrott, we have in one of my very early episodes, if you find the Jackie Kelly episode where she talks about her and Don Parrott driving from Houston to SoFlow and Jackie's Scottish interpretation of IHOP and American highways is just worth a listen.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
So, yeah, the next time you need to laugh, that's a great one to listen to.
I've done that drive from Houston to Orlando. I know Miami's a little farther, but I've done that quite a few times with my family going to Disney World. So same kind of deal. It takes us about 2 days.
But anyway, was there anything else you wanted to tell us about the cake or the awards you won or the show in general?
Well, I mean, I just love that Takes the Cake. You know, my first time going was when Liz Merrick made that really beautiful piece. I think it was called Mother Nature, Mother Earth. And it just totally blew my mind. And so it was just, I felt really grateful for, you know, being able to enter and, you know, win all those awards. That was just really exciting.
Well, we were really glad to have you, and that was an amazing cake. And congratulations again.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
remember, if you haven't already, by March 22nd, send me your contest answer to podcast@eat-the-evidence.com. The first person to tell me who made that honking noise wins that bucket of satin ice. Thank you to everyone who chatted with me about the amazing Austin show. The next episode will be the one-year anniversary episode, so go to Facebook Messenger and leave me voicemail about what you love best about this podcast, how it works for you, what your favorite clips are, or anything else you want to say about your sugar arts world. You can also email me or ping me on Facebook to let me know about clips or anything else you want to hear on that special anniversary episode. As I've said from the start, this show is better with you as part of it. So join in, share it around, and let's all make beautiful edible art together. This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors, and you can find out more about them and the things discussed on today's episode in the show notes by visiting the podcast section of the Eat the Evidence website, eat-the-evidence.com/podcast. There, you'll find social media links as well as links to iTunes, Stitcher, and other places where you can subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. I've also posted detailed instructions on how to leave me a Facebook voicemail message and other options to call into the show. Please do feel free at any time to call in your very own cake formation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. And if you like the show, please post a review on iTunes and share it with all of your sugar artist friends. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it! Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.
This is what I live for the whole year, is this show.